I think it was about 1980, and I was a curate at Emmanuel Church in Northwood with Richard Buse. And, sorry, I showed this photograph before and somebody said, which one was you? In case you're not sure, I'm the one at the piano, okay? And at one PCC meeting while I was there, on the agenda was the discussion to build a toilet. It's what churches do. And we had the discussion. And in the end, we agreed it. And the toilet cost about £1.5 million to build. Because as we discussed it, it grew from a toilet to reshaping the whole of the front of the church with a welcome area, a room upstairs, a bookstore, toilets and all sorts of other things. A small idea that we had under God became a much, much bigger project. Because that's what God does. He takes some of the small things we think about and makes them bigger. And we continue in our series under the title, The Spreading Flame. And what we see in Acts is indeed the gospel and the church spreading. And there are four periods in the Acts of the Apostles. Four periods of growth. There's the period after Pentecost, the period after the martyrdom of Stephen, the period after Peter finding really the gospel for the Gentiles as well, and what we're into now, the period under Paul. And at the end of each section, the emphasis is upon the word. So at the end of chapter 12, verse 24, it says this, the word of God continued to increase and spread. What we see in Acts is the word of God building the church of God. Now, over the last 2 weeks, we looked at the mission, first mission journey of Paul, and now we begin the second. In chapter 15 and verse 36, it says this, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now, that's great. That's great. Because in verse 35, it says this, Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. And I'm sure it would have been a great temptation for Paul to stay in Antioch, to work with lots of other Christians, to see the church there grow. But no, Paul says, let's go. Let's go. And that's great. Until I read the word back. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, Paul. That's the safe option. Let's go back to where we've already been, to the places we know, to places we're familiar with. And in a sense, that's what I often find in churches. We want the safe option. We've been there before. We know what lies ahead. So Paul says, let's go back. But as Paul and his team go back, what we see is God's big horizon. It's almost as if Paul was saying, well, let's build something small. Let's build a toilet. And God says, actually, I've got a much bigger plan. Let us grasp the heights of God's plans for us. And that's what happens. At the end of chapter 15, we see Paul with Silas go up through. Sorry, my map is not as good as Gareth's. So we're going to have a competition now, aren't we? Who can get the best map? But we've got a map here. So you can sort of see they start off in Antioch in Syria. They go up through Syria, Cilicia. They go to Derbe, Lystra, and they're going up this way. Up one of the Roman roads that the other Gareth, spoke about a couple of Sundays ago. And they were finding, as Gareth already mentioned, that actually God was preventing them. God was stopping them. They wanted to branch out either south into Asia here or north up into Bithynia, and God was stopping them. It says they were prevented. That is, God stopped them. But also, the word prevent means to go before. And in a sense, God was going before. Because God was saying to them, no, not turning to the left, not turning to the right, not going to the south, not going to the north, just keep on going, because I have got something better and bigger prepared for you. And what God was going to do, and as we see in the next part of the section we have today, God was going to open the door for the gospel into the continent of Europe. A continent which we see from history played a huge part in the gospel then spreading out to the ends of the earth. It was as if God was saying to Paul, I commend you for your desire to take the gospel out into modern day Turkey. But there is a much, much bigger world out there, centered on Rome and its satellites, its colonies. And God wanted to use that network for the gospel. So God said no to Paul's desire to go into Asia and into Bithynia. And instead, we have this vision, verse 9. Look at it with me if you've got the Bible open there. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. A very clear call to go to Macedonia. And Paul had no doubt in his mind what the help was that they needed. Verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That's the help that they needed. They needed to hear God's gospel of grace and mercy, and that's what they did. Just before we move on to the next section and see what happened, I want a couple of things to note. The first thing I want us to note is that God's horizons so often are bigger than ours. And that God will call us as individuals and as a church, sometimes to do something big for him, to be willing to take risks for him. I remember being here in church in September 2018 and Ben Thompson was preaching, and he was preaching on Ruth chapter 3. And during that sermon, looking at Ruth's faith, Ben said, do you know, faith is spelt R-I-S-K, risk. And at the end of the service, I went up to Ben and said, Ben, you got that all wrong. You've got that all wrong. No, he hadn't got it all wrong. He got it all right, as Ben always had it all right. But because I didn't want to hear what Ben was saying. I didn't want to hear that faith is about risk. Because at that point in time, my daughter Anna and her husband Chris were thinking of moving from Plymouth, where Chris was a curate, up to Yorkshire to start a brand new church. And that was risk. And I didn't want to hear that faith is about taking risks, because I was concerned for my daughter and her family. I was even more concerned when in the June of the next year, 2019, they were talking about their church starting in January 2020. And I talked to Anna as we walked along the beach, and I said, Anna, how many people have you got committed to your church? And she said, we've got 9. I said, Anna, that's a home group, that's not a church. Last Sunday, I was with them in their church. There were over 50 people there. All different backgrounds, all different ages, many of whom have come to faith, including one man, a man named Ali from the Middle East, who'd come to faith very recently. God has bigger plans than we do, bigger plans than we can sometimes imagine. And faith is a risk. Faith is a risk. Here is God saying to Paul, I want you to come over to Macedonia. I want you to come into Europe. And that's a huge risk, requiring great faith. And the second thing I want to note from this is a reminder, as Christians, we have different skills, different gifts, and different temperaments. Now, Paul was an apostle. And in that sense, he was very much a pioneer. He was a risk taker. And God wanted him to use the characteristics and the gifts that God had given him to the fullest. Yes, he could have gone through modern-day Turkey and gone to the churches there. But God said, no, that's not what I've called you for. Paul was a pioneer, and God wanted him to use those pioneering talents and gifts and temperament to take the gospel where it hadn't gone. You know, I think Paul would have been very difficult to have in a church. He would have been saying, come on, guys, let's take these risks. And many of us are not risk takers, and we'd be thinking, oh, no way, Paul. In churches, we tend to look for the safe option rather than taking the risks. But we need to see that God's horizons are bigger than ours, and we need to have faith in our God, even when it looks risky. So Paul understood. Paul understood the vision, and Paul went to Europe. And again, we see he went through Troas, up through to Philippi at the top there. And that's where we see the second point for this morning, is of God's church being built. Verse 12, you've got verse 12 there right at the bottom of the page if you've got the church Bible. It says this: from there we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. God's big horizons. God's strategy, you see that? It was a leading city. It was a Roman colony. It had so much going for it as a center for the gospel from which the gospel could go out to the whole of Europe and beyond. God's big horizons brought Paul and with him Silas and Timothy and probably Luke to this key center. And then, as ever, on the first day of the week, Paul wanted to meet with people, and there was no synagogue there, so Paul went to where they thought there would be a place. Verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. They went out, and they found only women there. So verse 13, we sat down and began to speak with the women who gathered there. I don't know about you, but I often sit down and talk to people. But it can be around a range of things, all sorts of things. But these people didn't. Verse 14, it speaks of Paul's message. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. What these men did was to sit down with these women and talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the message was effective because as a result, Lydia and her household were baptized. Now, what we need to note there is not that, yes, Lydia was a God-fearer and she was probably ready for the gospel. And Paul was probably a good communicator. But that's not the point. The point is there at the heart of verse 14. The Lord opened her heart. It is God who brings people to salvation. And it is only God who can bring people to salvation. It's great to have Christianity Explored starting tomorrow. It's a great course, but it is only God who can open people's hearts. It's God who directs the mission of his church. It's God who brings people to salvation. And here the church grows. In other places in Acts, we see the church growing in massive numbers. Here it grows with one woman and one family. God builds his kingdom person by person. And each individual is important to God. And each individual should be important to us as we seek to see the kingdom of God increase. So Lydia was the first convert in Philippi, the first convert in Europe. As we'll see with Andrew Dow next week, she was by no means the only convert in Philippi, or even the most unlikely convert. So as we look at this passage, as we look at these different threads, what do we learn? What do we learn as a church? Well, the overall reminder for us is that it is God who builds his church. And that God often has a much bigger vision, the heights of his plans for us, than we do for the building of his kingdom. But I want to just pick up some specifics in this, which I think apply to us. And I know it's dangerous with history to make it doctrine, but I think there are some things we can pick up from this. And the first is that it's God who directs the mission of his church. Paul and Co, they had their plans. They're going to go here. But God said no. He had much bigger plans. And what this says to us, I think, as a church, is that, yes, we should be planning our outreach. As a church, and as individuals, we should be praying for and inviting people to different things. But we should recognize that in all of this, we need to be open to God, who may be showing us something very, very different as a church or as individuals. See, I do wonder sometimes for us as a church here at St. David's, whether God's got a group, it may be an age group or a socio-economic group, that we're not touching. And God is saying, actually, I want you to focus upon this group. I want you to put your efforts in here. But one thing I do need to know is that we do need as a church, as a church council, to spend more time with God working out our strategy under God for our outreach. Because it's God who directs the mission of his church. And we need to be walking in that flow with God. But then the second thing is that God uses us in his mission. Just look again at verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel there. Then flip over the page, back to verse 13. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to teach the women who'd gathered. These people were intentional. They were intentional in what they were doing in sharing the gospel. They set out to meet people so they could share the gospel. And I think that's a lesson for all of us, to be intentional in sharing. Yes, I recognize that these people were different. They had different callings, different gifts from you and I. But the truth is the same, that while we may not all be evangelists, we are all called to share the gospel. God's kingdom is built when we play our part. I remember some time back hearing the story of a minister who was going down a road and a lorry had turned over and there were bags of sugar all over the place, and the police had been in touch with the firm, and the firm said, look, just give the sugar away. So they were giving two bags of sugar to everyone that went past. And the vicar took his two bags of sugar and walked along and was a little bit humbled to see a little old man knocking on people's doors, telling them that there was free sugar available. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the awareness of God's love in Jesus. And yet so often we hold it to ourselves. God uses people, uses you and I to invite somebody to Christianity Explored, to invite somebody to come to church, to share our faith with them in different ways. But then that final reminder that it is God who brings people to salvation. And that's key, which takes the weight off us. I don't have to be good at answering questions. I don't have to be good at explaining the gospel. Because as verse 14 says, the Lord opened her heart. And so prayer is our key. Prayer is our key. The prayer that God would open my friend's heart, your friend's heart. That friend, that man, Ali, I mentioned in my daughter's church, apparently people have been praying for him for 30 years. And he came to faith. He came to faith because God opened his heart. Friends, God is at work. He's at work to lead us in his mission. He's at work to bring people to faith. And we need to trust him. And we need to be obedient in sharing the gospel and trusting him to bring others to salvation. Let me pray for us. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us see the heights of your plans for us. Father, may we as a church understand where you want to lead us as we seek to share your gospel in this town and beyond. And may we be obedient, Father, willing to take those risks, those challenges, as we trust in your power to bring people to salvation and glory. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.